Barry Bloom joins us. He writes for Forbes.com. We always have Barry on Sunday. It's a great Sunday edition for us. Barry, how are you today?
Yeah, I'm great. You know, the background on that song, Steve Goodman, the late folk singer, wrote it as a jingle for WGN to open their broadcasts back in the 80s.
Well, they play it, of course, with the big W flag, they play it all the time. So Dwayne said it last night. We're getting tired of hearing that song. Giants, I think.
You can blame Theo because he revived it.
Yeah, okay. Hey, a lot of things this week happened in baseball, one of which you've been, since day one, you've been on the Ohtani story. And Ohtani got to face Chapman the other night, first time he's faced 100 miles an hour. But he didn't pitch in Yankee Stadium. And Yankees today, top of the ninth, they lead the Angels 3-1 behind Tanaka. But no Ohtani on the mound. What did you think of that?
I just think what they're trying to do, and you know, they're so quiet about it. Who knows what's going on, whether there's a slight injury there. But, you know, he's only pitched maximum 160 innings in his career over in Japan. And he's already thrown 45 innings over here, only, you know, really with no consistency. So I think that they were protecting him. My guess is that a high-profile game that everybody in Japan anticipated at Yankee Stadium, he would have brought it up a notch, and his possibility of getting hurt would have been higher. And I think that's just why they let it pass.
Okay. All right. If the Angels get in the playoffs, who knows? He may have to deal with Yankee Stadium, but that'll be in October. Barry Bloom with us, Forbes.com. We had a spirited discussion last night about Romo starting an inning, and, of course, there was a second reliever for Tampa Bay that did it. Giants have a pitcher today, Ty Block, who really has trouble with right-handers, and I'm sure the Cubs are going to load up the beginning of that lineup with right-handers. And we just talked about perhaps the Giants buying into that. Maybe they would go with Pierce Johnson or, you know, someone like that to start the game and then bring Block in for four or five innings after that if he could get through the lineup a couple of times. What do you think about this whole thing with the relief pitcher opening the game?
You know what? I think it's a great strategical approach to the game, and especially against a guy like Madden, that would have been perfect because now you're really screwing with Madden's mind on how he has to build his whole lineup because he knows that he might as well put all his right-handers in because he's going to be facing one later in the game. But it increases the guessing of it, you know, and I think that's kind of fun. I don't see any reason why not to do it on a piecemeal basis if you know, you're in the situation that you just outlined.
Yeah, yeah. You know, and again, I've thought through it, and the Giants have given up more runs in the first inning. I think it's the first, the sixth, and maybe one other inning they've given up the most runs, but the first is right up there. And for someone like Ty Block, it may make sense to do it. Romo tried it again today and got knocked around quite a bit. But we'll see. It's baseball with its innovations. Tampa Bay, and are they raising the white flag already? Denard Span and Colomay off to Seattle. Isn't it early for these kind of trades? I know DePoto is very aggressive, but, boy, Tampa Bay, they're not that far out of the wild card. I know the Yankees and Red Sox are running away, but isn't Tampa Bay still in this thing?
No, and I think that they've been raising the white flag all winter. I mean, you've seen the type of talent that they've traded away and, you know, ex-Rays who are around the league and accomplishing good things elsewhere. I just think they're in a position where, you know, until they figure out their stadium situation there, you know, they're just not going to be putting any money into the team. You know, I think Longoria's comments recently about that situation are interesting, where he said, don't even try, you might as well move them because look what happened in Miami with the new stadium. And I think that's an approach that's worth looking at.
Well, you did a great article this week on Forbes.com, and you really have a nice forum to put your ideas across. About the Padres and how they put their stadium together. And you wanted to sort of compare a little bit to the A's, who drew 6,900 earlier in the week against Seattle. How did you compare those two situations?
Well, it's just obviously it's different municipalities and everybody has in their own markets has, you know, completely different problems. But, you know, the similarities were that, you know, down there, John Moores and Larry Lucchino, when they got this started in the mid 90s, you know, had to deal with, much like the A's, they had to deal with the Port District, the county, the city, you know, and the A's, they've got the Coliseum Commission, they've got the Port of Oakland, they've got the community, they've got Alameda County. There's a lot of similarities in terms of how you have to go through the process to get all this done. And I think, you know, John Moores' point in it was that even though it was tough and he might not do it again, it was rewarding that he stuck through it, because it took 8-9 years for that project to get done. You know, and the A's are about, what, 10 years down the road already, going to different communities. And now they're at the point where they really have to put up and shut up and get this thing done. It's a top 10 market. You're in the middle of it. The East Bay is only growing. If you look ahead for the next 20 or 30 years, it's going to be a hopping market. They need to get their ballpark done.
All right. Well, San Diego waited it out and got a beautiful park down there. I know you – by the way, you're getting into sort of Twitter wars with people over the Padres and some of your comments about the Padres. What's going on there?
Oh, I mean, I like trolling some of the young Padre fans down there who don't know their butt against their elbow to Major League Baseball and have basically bought into the Padres myth that with all the players coming through the minor leagues that, you know, hang with us, spend money on the team, and in 2020, 2021, this is going to be a really good team. But when you take a look at the actual makeup of the minor league system, you know, and, you know, one of the guys down there who does a blog on the minor league system consistently, you know, he put up something from FanGraphs giving a bullet point on the top 43 prospects. And I looked at the top 20 and I'm looking at it and go, okay, the top eight of 13 are pitchers. Three of them already had Tommy John surgery and another one just went on the disabled list. You know, they don't have really an impact hitter in the top of it. And, you know, there are guys like Tatis and Urias who may be really good players in the future, could make up their infield. You know, they're still not the type of power hitters, you know, and I'm looking at it and going, you know, where's the Bryants? Where's the Schwarbers? Where's the Harpers? You know, where's the Altuves? They just don't have it in that organization. So it's a running battle between me with, you know, 40 years of experiencing watching the Padres go down the drain on draft picks and international signings and, you know, the younger kids who have bought into it.
Well, it's entertaining. You are now an official Twitter warrior.
If you go back to my days, you know, when I covered the team at the Tribune down there, when there was no Twitter or internet, I was the predecessor of a Twitter warrior in the paper and on radio. So, I mean, this is just a natural social media extension of what I've always done.
Very good. You're made for it. Mike Socia is going to pass Lasorda for most wins in a career. What is I asked this to Bruce Jenkins yesterday. What is the legacy of Mike Socia? Where does he fit when it's all said and done?
I think he's a Hall of Fame manager.
Really?
And I don't see any reason why he doesn't get in. I mean, really, okay, you go with Bobby Cox. You know, he had the 14 division titles in a row except for the, the strike year. They were in the World Series five times. He won once. You know, Mike was in it once. He won once. He's taken teams to the playoffs four or five times. In this era where, you know, 19 years for one manager and one organization, I mean, the only one who even got close was Boch. And, you know, Bochy's long-term tenure between the Giants and the Padres is longer than Mike's. So he's got him beaten that way, but he doesn't have him beaten with one team. You know, the Padres should have just kept him and never let him go. But be that as it may, for San Francisco fans and the Giants, they did. It worked out great in this era for the Giants with him managing the team. And I think, you know, you look at the guys who are there in this era, and it's, to me, it's like Bochy, Tito, and Mike are the Hall of Fame managers from this era. And then, you know, you can argue about the rest of them.
Really? Well, very good. Interesting. Barry Bloom, interesting. I kind of see Socia a little bit more like a Gene Mauk, that, you know, he was got there and never quite – well, he did win the World Series. Mauk
never – No, that's not true. I mean, Dusty is Gene Mauk.
Okay, that's a good comparison. But Gene never got to the World Series. Gene couldn't get out of the playoffs the first round.
And, like Dusty, he always made some sort of mistake that, or something against the grain, that, or somebody screwed up that got him, didn't get him to the World Series. But with Mike, I mean, Mike took a great team or a middling team in 2002. You know, that beat the Giants, came from behind to beat the Giants in the World Series.
Yeah, that was his shining moment. And, of course, he's managed like a National League manager in the American League. And we talked yesterday, his team's first to third, still the best in baseball, and he had that ability. All right, just thought I'd throw it out there. You gave a different response than others have given, and so we'll see where that how that fits in. But you are somewhat of a contrarian, so it fits
okay. Mean, I will say, in full disclosure, I mean, you know, I've known Mike since he was a player. He's a good friend of mine. I mean, he's just one of the guys who, you know, I'd go with under any circumstances. And I think it's why Artie Moreno has kept him there as long as he has as manager. I mean, when you look at – I always look at this thing. When people start saying, well, it's time to get rid of a manager, you have to look at the universe of people who are out there and who's better.
No, I'm with you. I understand. Hey, Hanley Ramirez got released by the Red Sox. Were you surprised?
Yeah, I was surprised because, I mean, the guy was in a slump. I don't understand, you know, you look at what the Red Sox have done money-wise. I mean, they have two or three players out there right now who they're going to be winding up paying $45 million to either not play for them or not play, period. And so somebody's going to pick up Hanley at the minimum. I mean, there's no doubt about that because he's still a useful player, particularly in the American League where they can DH him and play him, you know, at first base, in the outfield, at short. I mean, really, you know, there's a couple of organizations that could use him right now.
Boy, it's going to be fun to see what happens with Hanley Ramirez. He's still a good hitter, like you say. Hey, great to have you on today. And we have Memorial Day weekend. It's always a solemn moment. And baseball hopefully will do justice and observe it tomorrow. So I appreciate you being on.
Yeah, anytime, Marty. And, you know, baseball, that's the thing they do best. When they rise always to the moment when it comes to these things.
Yep. There's the connection, the military and baseball. It goes back to the beginning when baseball started. So we'll see how it works out. I'm not a big fan of the uniforms and the hats and wearing it all weekend. I think it's a little commercial for me.
Yeah, well, we all were brought up in in the hippie era where, talk about contrarian, that was all pretty much, you know, against belief systems back in that day, that's for sure.
We'll see. All right. Hey, great. Have a good day, and I appreciate having you on. We'll talk to you next Sunday. Thanks, Barry.
Okay, Marty. See you soon.
Yeah, very good. Good report from Barry Boone. Raph, good report, huh, from Barry Boone. Very good.